All right, good morning. It is 9:15, and it is time for a update here from USD 445. We have Dr. Craig Correll in studio this morning. Good morning, sir. How's it going?
I'm doing great this morning. How are you doing?
Hey, doing good. It's good to have you in here. A busy fair week continues, and just getting started. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a hot one, but that's okay.
It is going to be a hot one. It is. It's a busy week in Coffeyville, period. The fair and rodeo is kicking off this week. Our teachers come back this week, and all of our staff. So we have a lot going on.
Yeah, we sure do. So as we look towards the meeting that's coming up here for USD 445, I know you've had some special meetings here in the past. We've got another meeting coming up here today. So what is sticking out to you on the agenda today?
Really, this agenda is all our budget. So we'll have the Deputy Superintendent, Michael Spear, will be going over the budget for the year and all the ins and outs of that with all the board members and then answering any questions that they have for us.
So I know that there was, you did approve a potential mill levy increase, but is this kind of where you'll be finalizing some of the kind of discussion on that? And I know you still have to have a revenue neutral hearing if you do decide to exceed that.
Exactly, yeah. And any hearing that we would have would be in September, the regularly scheduled September board meeting.
So yeah, this is just trying to flesh out the plan at least.
Exactly.
As you
right.
look to that.
Right.
So. Very good. So, as of course, a big budget talks here today. In the past, very most recent meeting, I know you did approve some measures related to the pool. Can you kind of bring us up to speed of where we sit currently with the situation and kind of timeline for the pool?
Sure. It's nice to have some movement on the pool. We've been talking about this for a little over a year and a half now. So we have approved all the bids to go out, so we're really excited to get started with that. What we'll be looking at is the fixes to the structure itself. And right now, we've filled the pool back up with water. It's doing pretty well. We're working on making sure all the pumps and everything is working as it should. There is a gutter along the pool that we know needs a little bit of work, but we've had some professionals come in, and we think we're going to be able to get that going at a minimal cost now. It probably will need to be fully replaced sometime down the road. So just making sure everything is up and viable. The timeline, we're looking at, we're being told by March this should be all completed. We're hoping we can get that a little earlier so we could get in one of our swim seasons this year. But again, I know as the superintendent and I know our other employees, we're excited to get this started. We're really excited to get it finished. I know our community is as well. We have a lot of community members who worked very hard and put a lot of time and money into assisting the school district with the pool endeavor.
Well, that is great. And I know that initially, this whole, for folks who may not know, the structure of the roof was found to have some issues when you were setting those air conditioning units. Now, I know you did approve some additional air conditioning units. What's the story with those? Were you able to repurpose those ones that you're planning on, or like, what's the whole thing there?
There's a lot of stories related to the pool when we go back. So yeah, this particular one, we using the ESSER funds, which was the COVID money that was there several years ago, we purchased HVAC units for the buildings because that was one thing that wasn't allowable in expense, and we knew that would save us money down the road and save taxpayer money down the road in replacing HVAC units. And that was one of the last ones we went to place. And when we went up there, the workers got up on the roof, and they didn't feel real good about putting that there from what they saw. So everything paused. We brought experts in who said, I would not set this on there. In fact, I would close the building and not let anybody in. So that was a big oh wow moment of, where do we go from here? And so at that point, we had the proposals in of what that was going to cost to fix. We also need roofs on all of our buildings, and some of that insurance is telling us that after a certain time they will not insure those buildings unless the roofs are fixed. So these are pertinent issues to the district. And so the board really, really had to weigh what were their priorities. And that was when the pool group came forward, and we've had a lot of discussions with the pool group on how that would work out. And so then they did their own fundraising, and we did some back and forth on what that would look like. So we have that unit, and then as we really look at the longevity of the pool, that is one thing that we know typically in the past has been replaced every 10 to 12 years, and it's just a corrosive environment for an HVAC unit. The chemicals and the humidity, it's constant. So what the indoor pool experts told us, there's a better unit that that would accommodate this a lot better. So we can repurpose the old. We didn't just go buy a new one, and we have one sitting in a warehouse. We will be able to repurpose that. I'm probably on the multi-purpose room at CES because it's another large room that we have.
Okay, well, that's great to know that it's not going to waste, because I know, yeah, there are some districts, I believe this is similar to that pool at Ooligan, they don't even air condition that one, but they've got it set up to where they can much easier ventilate it than you can.
Right, yeah, we don't have very good airflow in there, and we really no way to ventilate that. Open the doors, that's all you would have. So this will be good, and this unit will last much longer and keep that at a better temperature and humidity level.
Very good. We're speaking with Dr. Craig Correll here from USD 445. Let's shift towards start of school. Of course, that is almost at hand. And I know there's going to be some changes here when it comes to the communications with those parents and students. Can you tell us a little bit about Parent Square?
Parent Square is the new platform that we're using for all communication. There was some legislative action taken this last session in Topeka, which mandated that, made it illegal for teachers and coaches to text students on their cell phones through Messenger, what have you. And this really is a lot safer for not only our students, but our staff as well. And so since we needed to find a way for staff to communicate, we just looked at this whole encompassing communication app. And so far, I think we've navigated any bumps and things along the way. And so we're rolling that out right now for all of our parents. And so every teacher can communicate with individual parents, and they can contact the teacher. Teachers and coaches can send group messages out to students and to parents as a whole. So we're really looking forward to that and just making that communication easier both ways.
Well, that sounds like it will be pretty organized and should be very helpful for all parties involved.
Haley O'Connor's been working very hard on this, and I think the rollout is going along really well.
And so when parents and everyone gets registration, all that stuff, they'll be able to get signed up for this?
Yes. Yes. I happened to look this morning, and I think it said all but 10 families were set up.
Well, that's great. So appreciate the update there. Speaking of communications, of course, some new policies in place from the state and on the cell phones.
Another legislative action taken this past session was a cell phone ban. And not just cell phone, it's really any communications ban. So it is illegal for a student to have these devices out at school. And so we are recommending leave them home, leave them in your vehicle if you drove to school. And that doesn't just include cell phones. That's your headphones, that's your smartwatches, anything that can be used to communicate. Again, that was a legislative action that came down. And so we are just abiding by that action and putting everything in place that we possibly can. And we know there's some parents out there that are a little fearful of their children not having a phone at school and on them at all times. But most of us grew up in a school that we didn't have our own phones. And, that we have a phone in every classroom. Every teacher has a desk phone, and obviously in the offices. So communication is very possible without students having their cell phones.
That's right. We can maybe go back to the future there on that.
Yes.
One.
Yes. and they are allowed to bring them and have them put away off. They can check them into the office. But if your student, say, is an athlete who needs to leave at 1 o'clock on the bus to go to a football game, they can have that to take with them. And I'm glad that was written into the statute, because as a parent, I would want my child definitely, when they're going out of town on a school trip, to have a communications device.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it all kind of boils down to common sense, and I'm glad that we were able to have that in the piece of legislation.
It does. I think 7 or 8 years ago, I probably would have welcomed this statute. We've done a lot of work, and we really felt like we were doing pretty well at our schools. What we allowed was our high school students to be able to take them out at lunchtime and check them, just teaching that responsibility, because, as adults, I know that we're all checking our phone periodically throughout the day. So so that was one thing that'll be a change for us. But other than that, they can't have them out, and there will be consequences if they have them out. That's cool.
Speaking with Dr. Craig Correll here from USD 445, any other reminders here as we head back to school?
Just good luck to all the students and parents coming back to school, and for our students that participated at the Fair and Rodeo, good luck to all them this week. It's a big week.
It is a huge week, so I hope folks can make the most of it and get that little last bang of summer here with the Interstate Fair and Rodeo.
That's right.
We do appreciate you coming on by, and again, that meeting will be this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And that'll be back at the school board office?
Yes, that will be at the board office.
Very good. All right, that is Dr. Craig Grell here on the Mighty 690. We'll get back to your calls here as Open Line continues on KGGF.